This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Zinta A-Stars talks with scientist, hiker, and author Loreen Neuenheis about her latest book chronicling her travels around the Great Lakes. But first, what does baseball in Kalamazoo mean? Is it the amazing career of now-retired New York Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter? The Kalamazoo Lassies, who played in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, depicted in the movie A League of Their Own? How about the current Kalamazoo Growlers? Well, Kalamazoo Public Library web coordinator Keith Howard has written an extensive history of baseball in Kalamazoo. It can be found on the local history section of the library's webpage. Keith Howard, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So can we say with some certainty when baseball was first played in Kalamazoo? Are there newspaper accounts or records that tell us that?
With reasonable certainty. I mean, we don't know exactly for sure, but anecdotally, it seems to have been introduced during the 1850s. Actually, a gentleman by the name of John McCord is said to have brought the game here. He apparently came from upstate New York as a kid and returned there to school. And at that time, there was almost a different game being played here. They called it patch ball. And the locals were playing that. And he returned from New York with this new game that he had learned. And as one of them said, they hated it at first. They just couldn't stand it. But he said, no, you've got to, this is going to be the real game. And sure enough, it was. So that's kind of the beginning of it. He's the one that brought it here.
Where was the game played? Where were the fields in the city? If we were to try to pick out some landmarks now, where would we say, oh, at one time they were playing baseball here?
Sure. That was one of the parts that I found actually most fascinating when I dug into this, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper. But I mean, they played in cow pastures and empty fields and sand lots and wherever they could find space. But the first actual real baseball field was, interestingly enough, off of Westridge Avenue, just a couple of blocks down on Wheaton. Of course, it's densely populated in this day and age, but in the 1880s, there was a lot of empty land there. And they actually constructed the city's first professional, if you will, baseball field there. So the streetcar line, the horse-drawn streetcar line, ended at Wheaton Avenue. Patrons would get off and walk a couple of blocks west to the entrance of the field. It sort of backed up against Davis Street. And they had all the, you know, the concessions. They had a grandstand and bleachers and the whole deal. It was a big deal. In fact, the 1887 team took the state championship, and they were the kind of the first players on that field. So that's pretty cool. So that was the first one. That quickly was swallowed up by urban development. So there were actually a couple of fields built in the Woods Lake area. Of course, the amusement park was out there. Mm-hmm. And so where the Oakwood Plaza shopping area is right now was the first field out there, corner of White's Road and Oakland Drive. That was a field for a couple of years in the 1890s. In the 19-teens, there was another field west of there in what's now the Winchell neighborhood. So that was one. There was also another later on in the 20s that was built downtown, actually up in the area beside the river, down in sort of the industrial area. It was there. And then there was actually another field that was put in across the road from where the current fairgrounds are. So there were a few. They were kind of scattered around, but nonetheless, they came and went and were actually well done. So
you mentioned the field there at West Edge and Wheaton having the full grandstand and, mm-hmm. and kind of some of the accessories, I guess, we expect now, even in a modern day ballpark, concessions and that sort of thing. Were people paying to get in?
Yeah, actually they were. And in those days, at least according to newspaper accounts, admission was a quarter. For big games, Kalamazoo in 1886 played Chicago, which was a huge match. Admission to that game was 50 cents. 50 cents a quarter seems to be pretty much the rate for several decades there. So,
do we know a point anywhere in this history where players were getting paid themselves? Was there some sort of a professional status accorded to them?
It was, absolutely. It was all pretty much amateur up until 1886. And then some backers really decided to put together a proper team. And although there were some good locals, that year they hired professionals. Began hiring professionals, I should say, and especially the year after 1887, when they actually won the state championship, that was an entirely professional team. So as long as they could get a slot on, it appears anyway, as long as they could get a slot on the as a state team, or as long as there was a state league, and of course the league came and went away, and there was a lot of fluctuation there, but as long as there was a state league and a team playing, a lot of those were professional players. So.
Was baseball in those days segregated in Kalamazoo?
It appears to have been at least somewhat. I never, in any of the reading, of course, you know, we have to rely completely on what was actually documented, but in reading through things, I didn't find any indication of players being prohibited or, in other words, if African-American players could not play for teams.
No written rule, per se.
At least from what I found. There were lots of African-American teams. There were mostly sandlot-style teams, but actually some barnstorming teams, some teams that did some traveling, some teams that had a fairly decent degree of success. And some of the locals played. The Excelsior Baseball Club was in the 1880s, actually 1889. That was a predominantly African-American team. They played against the YMCA team, which was predominantly African-American. Interestingly, around that time, during the 1890s, the locals played both against and shared some of the members with the famous Page Fence Giants. And that was a barnstorming team from Adrian, which were just brutal players. They were really nationally known for being incredibly good players. And so some of when the Giants kind of went away, some of their players came to Kalamazoo and played professionally on teams here, both mixed and strictly African-American. Don't really have a lot of record after the turn of the 20th century. Clearly, there were African-American teams that played, but seemed to be more amateur status and not a lot of documentation there. So,
is there a point that you can identify in this long history of baseball in Kalamazoo and say that the peak of popularity probably lands here?
Sure. It's interesting. It's kind of split into a couple of chapters, if you will. The one pretty much was up until the 1887 championship. And before that time, the rules were different. They played a different type of ball. We can see that now with some of the vintage leagues that are playing by the rules that were established around the time of the Civil War. Much different, much more polite, much more formal type of thing. And after the 1890s or into the 1890s and from then on, it became much more a sport of the common man, where before that, alcohol and tobacco was prohibited. After that, it was pretty much seemingly required equipment. and actually, fights were encouraged. I mean, it was pretty intense at times. And the players were really very good. And that's sort of where the core of modern baseball came about.
When you go about trying to do this research, what are you relying on? What are the sort of things that you can turn to and as best you can piece together this history of baseball in Kalamazoo?
Really, truthfully, the primary source for a lot of this are the two local newspapers, two or three local newspapers that were around then. Thankfully, Western gives students and faculty access to the Gazette files. Of course, all of the Gazettes are on file on microfilm at the library, so those are accessible. The library also has digitized now the Kalamazoo Telegraph, which was the quote-unquote other local newspaper.
There's a whole history right there in the fact that there was more than one newspaper in the town the size of Kalamazoo.
Yeah, and what was carried in one or what was talked about in one, sometimes they were highly political. And so what was talked about in one sometimes wasn't talked about in another, and sometimes the stories are contradictory. Well, one team won, but the other paper says, oh, no, the other team. But those are really the best sources. It's kind of almost like a mosaic where you kind of, there aren't one or two great things, not immense diaries and immense collections of things like we would hope. They're just little snippets of things, sometimes little one and two sentence articles that you kind of have to piece together, and you can kind of see who these teams were and where they came from. So the newspapers are pretty much the primary sources on these.
You take us in one of these articles through the end of the 1980s when the City League, amateur baseball in Kalamazoo, declined. People seemed to lose interest, and then it went out of existence. Is that something of a transition point from there into the minor league teams, which have now come to Kalamazoo, three different ones over the last roughly 20 years?
Sure. I think there always seemed to have been, at least from reading these all through, there always seemed to have been strong fan support, even years when the teams weren't doing so hot, and even some of our more recent teams that haven't been so hot. It's not all about the wins. It was the experience. There just seems to have been a time during the 1980s, especially, where things kind of fell apart. There wasn't a lot of funding. They just couldn't get the support that they needed to get the people out. The facilities began to kind of crumble and decay, and as did the teams. And I think a lot of it, truthfully, came down to funding. Things just weren't happening for a while. And then thanks to a few investors that kind of came around a few years after that and kind of put things back together, there was a resurgence, which we're kind of seeing the benefits of today. So
there's a note at the end of this article and many others on the library webpage, which notes that it's not by any means a definitive study, but should be viewed as a work in progress. So
sure.
Are there things that are still out there that you kind of wonder about and maybe when you have a spare minute you might search for, or maybe that you're perhaps hoping that somebody else might have stumbled across at some point that might give us just a little bit more detail on this mosaic of baseball in Kalamazoo?
Sure. I mean, there's a wealth of information contained in family diaries, in letters, communications, sometimes postcards, things, the way people communicated and things that happened to be written down that are locked away in attics and in basements and boxes and whatever. And as generations pass and those things come into different hands, and we evaluate our parents and our grandparents' things and great-grandparents and see what they were. Sometimes things like that come about or come back to the surface. And so we're always looking for things like that. I'm truthfully always looking for new material, new insight and things like that. And it does come. So you can't really call any of these a definitive study. They're definitely works in progress. So it's a snapshot, at least. It's something, you know. And maybe somebody another generation on will take this work and expound on it and find a whole bunch of new stuff, hopefully. So,
Keith Howard, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Keith Howard is web coordinator for the Kalamazoo Public Library. You can find links to his writings on the history of baseball in Kalamazoo on the Kalamazoo Public Library webpage and also through a link at WMUK.org.